Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Learn two halachos daily with our new Torah Imecha Halacha Initiative in a manner that is easy to read, understand, and remember. Imagine how many halachos you can learn in 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. All this from your phone or email in 3 minutes or less. Sign up for Tardi Mecha Shabbos, our first halacha series, at ouwomen.org/halacha. H-A-L-A-C-H-A. That's ouwomen.org/halacha. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, perek 4. The previous perek had two main themes. First, it discussed how society will lose its leaders and elders because of their corruption and will be ruled by the immature and flippant. In the second section, the Navi discusses how the corruption of values manifested itself in the women. In Perek 2, it discussed how materialism and the pursuit of power changed the male elements of society. In Perek 3, it discussed how those same values in women caused them to chase beauty and attention and caused them to pressure the leaders to be corrupt. The end of the perek outlines their punishments, where the women lose all they value, their beauty, their jewelry, and their husbands. The first pasuk of perek 4 concludes the previous section. The divisions of the prokem were not done by Jewish scholars, so there are sometimes discrepancies between the prokem as we have them and where they should be divided. At the end of the last perek, many husbands have been killed. Now there are an overwhelming number of widows. These widows beg one man to marry them, despite his already having multiple wives. Pasuk 1. Vechaziku sheven ashim b'ishachad bayomahu. 7 women shall take hold of one man in that day, begging him to marry them. The number 7 is not meant to be taken literally, but means a large number. Since 7 is a number found in nature, it signifies completeness or many. There were so many widows from this attack that the widows did not want the shame of being alone. They begged any man to at least give them the pretense of being married. The Mishpat Sahav that this is the final degradation and the final punishment against the woman's arrogance. They were arrogant, and so they lost all their dignity, even having to beg to have a sham marriage. The Radak says that this happened in the time of Achaz. Pekach ben Remaliah, the king of Israel, attacked Yehuda and killed 120,000 men in one day. The widows wanted to be married and so asked the remaining men to marry them. Rashi has a different explanation as to what precipitated this crisis. In the times of the Babylonian exile, Nebuchadnezzar decreed that his army could only attack unmarried women and needed to leave the married women alone. The widows, fearful of their lives and trying to avoid being attacked, begged any man to marry them. They were trying to avoid being carried off by the invading army. In Jewish law, married men have obligations to feed, clothe and house their wives, and to be intimate with them on a regular basis. The women insisted that they were willing to give all this up. Lachmenu nochel v'simlasenu nilbash, rak yikarei shimcha aleinu esof cherpasenu. We will eat our own bed. We will wear our own clothing. Only let us be called by your name, take away our shame. They wanted to protect themselves, and so they begged any man to marry them. The Medrash tells us that in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, there were only 3 women left who did not get married, and they indeed were assaulted by the invading forces. With this harsh reality, the Navi concludes his negative nevuah about the women. As is the pattern, Yeshayahu will now share a nevuah of consolation with the people. The next part of the parak continues with what happens after the punishments have cleansed our sins through suffering. At that time, there will be a final geula. The Me'ab Lois explains that in the last parak, the people were obsessed with beauty and status that stems from superficial things. This nevuah describes what true beauty really is, which comes not from jewelry, but from divine service. Pasuk 2, by Yom Hahu, on that day. According to the Radak, this is at the times of Mashiach. Yetzemach Hashem l'tzvi ulchavod. The growth of Hashem will be beautiful and glorious. In Shemona Esrei, Tzemach refers to Mashiach, who we call Tzemach David, the growth of David. A growth is a particular kind of salvation. Sometimes salvation comes suddenly. Other times, it develops slowly over time. The tzemach, a growth, is a salvation that develops slowly. When we plant a seed, we put the seed in darkness. The seed disintegrates and it seems hope is lost. but this seed develops to be a tzemach, a growth. The growth pushes out the soil and continues to grow and flourish. This is what the pasuk is describing. Mashiach grows throughout history. At first there is darkness. Galus is a soil where Hashem prepares Mashiach for the eventual redemption. Mashiach is a growth that is truly beautiful and glorious. It has deep roots that have true spiritual depth, which is unlike the power and possessions the people were pursuing in the times of Yeshayahu. Mashiach will be Ufri Ha'aretz L'Gaon L'Sferes, and the fruit of the land for greatness and for glory. The growth, the Tzemach, will produce fruit, and that fruit will be a source of greater pleasure. The Radak points out that when a tree first grows, people enjoy its shade and its greenery. But then, when the tree produces fruit, people get much more pleasure from it. When Mashiach first arrives, people will appreciate his arrival. And as the years go by, life with Mashiach will keep getting better and better, bringing the Jewish people more joy. Mashiach will eventually destroy Gog and Magog, and the life for the Jewish people will be all the more joyous and peaceful. Who will this joy of the beauty and glory belong to? L'fleitas Yisrael, to the survivors of Israel. Not everyone will live to see Mashiach. Only those who remain steadfast in their faith will be the ones who will greet Mashiach. Mashiach will only come after the time of the harsh degrees, which we call Chavlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. Surviving this time requires special merit. Pasuk 3. V'haya ha'nishar b'tzion, v'anosar b'yushlayim, kadosh ye'amer lo. And it will be that those who are left in Sion and those who remain in Yerushalayim will be called holy. People will recognize that these survivors are special. They survived the war of Gog and Magog in Yerushalayim. Indeed, some of the men have a special status as they were brought to life l'chaim b'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, and merited revival from the dead. Their bodies will have had all sin purged from them. Their bodies will rejoin with their souls so that they are on a similar spiritual composition as Adam before his sin. This change does not come to the Jewish people easily. Mashiach will only arrive after Hashem rids the Jewish people of their sins. Mashiach will arrive after the women are cleansed from their immorality of the last perek. Pasuk 4, Imrachat Hashem es soas benos Tzion, when Hashem will have washed away the filth of the daughters of Tzion. Mashiach will only arrive when the men have abandoned their corrupt leadership practices, which caused innocent people to be killed. When Hashem has Estimei Yerushalayim Yadiach Mikirba, purged the blood of Yerushalayim from its midst. Rav Schwab reminds us that this process of washing away our sins has taken over 2,000 years. It only comes through the suffering of Galus. When we allow Galus to teach us its lessons, the world will change and Mashiach can come. When the Jewish people change their standards of morality, there will be a concrete result. The Shekhinah will once again be present on the earth. There will be a new spiritual existence available to those who have clung to the truth. Pasuk hints that this will be an entirely new reality by using the word uvara, create, at the beginning of Pasuk 5. Hashem will create a new world as he created the world in the beginning of time. It will be a new reality unlike anything that we know until this point. This new reality will be created, al kol mechon har tzion v'al mikra eha, over the whole establishment of Mount Zion and over all who are called to it. The new reality will not only be on the Temple Mount, it will also extend to the people who are called to it, the tzaddikim associated with the Beit HaMikdash, who feel drawn to the Mikdash with its Shekhinah. The new reality will include Anan Yomam V'Ashan, V'Noga Esh Lehava Laila, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. When the Jewish people were in the Midbar, the Shekhinah rested on the Mishkan, and there were clouds that surrounded the whole camp. They had a cloud that protected them in the day and a light that shone in the night. In the times of Mashiach, the Shekhinah and the cloud and the flame will return. But instead of resting only on the Mishkan, says the Radak, they will rest both on the entire temple complex as well as on the houses of all the tzaddikim. Ki al kol kavod chupa. For over all the honored, there will be a canopy, a chuppah. Those who are honored are the tzaddikim. They will have a special sukkah, a cloud by day, and a supernatural light by night protecting them. In addition, Pasuk 6, Hashem will protect the tzaddikim with 7 protective layers, all called sukkah. the sukkah will be with sil yomam mechorev, to provide shade during the day from scorching heat, and also a protection and refuge from steam and rain. On a simple level, this pasuk continues describing life in the time of Mashiach. The people will be protected from extreme weather, as the people in Midbar were protected by the sukkah of clouds. Rav Schwab adds an additional dimension to our understanding of this perek. In the future, according to Malachi, the Rishatim will be burned on the final day of judgment. Chazal say that Hashem will take the sun out from its protective covering, which Rav Schwab explains that Hashem will remove the atmosphere which diffuses the sun's strong rays. The resultant heat will destroy the Rishatim. The Tzaddikim and the Beis HaMikdash will be protected by the sukkah described in our perek. Based on Tehillim, Hashem will rain down on the world burning coals, which will also not be able to touch the Jewish people because of their sukkah. In addition to physical protection from the punishments at the end of days, the Me'am Lois tells us the sukkah will provide additional protection to the tzaddikim. The sukkah will protect the tzaddik from all the troubles that are preventing them from reaching their potential. The sukkah of tzaddikim will stop all enemies, financial pressures, and illness, so that the tzaddikim can focus completely and entirely on connecting to Hashem. In this short parak of six psukim, we learned about the final shame of the Jewish women in Galus. The parak then shifts to a vision of the times of Mashiach, when we will be cleansed of our sins and the tzaddikim will live a life of glory and connection with Mashiach after the Rishaim have been destroyed from this world. Rav Schwab ends the parak with a mashal that contains an important lesson for us as we learn the Sefer. It would be foolish to try to describe color to a blind person. No matter how many words are used, it is a reality that can only be experienced to be understood. As we read these psukim, we are like blind men. We read these psukim but have no idea what they mean. We can only know that after Galus, those who remain faithful to Hashem will be protected from the judgment at the end of days, and the Rishatim will be destroyed. The Tzaddikim will receive a glorious reward that allows them to connect to Hashem. Our job throughout Galus is to live with morality and meaning, so that Mashiach can grow and be revealed to the whole world. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.